Okay, last week we were talking about the Saraswatam and we were tracing throughout the ages different possibilities where different discussions of where they were, and I showed that from the times of Rishonim till we left off about 1899, it was a very special, many of them big Gedolim, and they traveled, were curious about where is the Sambatyam, where is sorry, just one second. Oh, sorry, one more minute and I'll begin because I just found the pages. They're supposed to be up on display. Okay, perfect. Okay, we can begin. Okay. So anyway, I basically went from the times of the Rishonim, early Rishonim. 2 weeks ago we were discussing Eldad HaDani, the times of the Gaonim, and that he claimed he was from the Saras HaShvatim. We went through various discussions in the Rishonim and Middle Ages, moving onwards to Ramchal. We spoke about the Vilna Gaon, we spoke about Rabbi Yisrael Shklover, who had a whole movement, whole letter that he tried to communicate with. He tried to communicate with them. He had a different motive for Aseres HaShvatim because he wanted to reinstitute the Smicha. That was the, now just to mention, just in the even in our century, a few sources about it, and then we'll move on to the next topic. There's a book called Memoirs of a Childhood, written by Nima Adler Bloom. She was the daughter of the famous Reb Chaim Hirschenson. Now, she wrote some type, it's a sort of a autobiography with a lot of interesting things. In chapter 12 of the book, on page 49, she talks about Aseres HaShvatim, and as how a little kid, every time a Taimani would come visiting this, she was writing this. This is she's describing in Yerushalayim. They would always ask them, "Oh, do you know where the ten shvatim are?" Okay, fine. This is when she's a little girl. Fine. One time, she writes that they went to ask Reb Shmuel Salant. It's interesting in this book. There's a few bits and pieces of conversations that the kids had with Reb Shmuel Salant, and he asked them. After he finished with his bezin, he said, "We have a very important question." The kids asked him. What is it? We are the Aseres HaShvatim. Shmuel Salant said to them, "Send them everywhere, particularly to the jungles where no communication is possible. Let them also gather those who bear names of tribes. They might be their descendants and have some information, no matter how scant. It turned out to be like the story of Yosef." But it seems like Shmuel Salant didn't take them all that seriously. Then they went to ask the Svardi Chacham of that time, and he discussed it also, okay. But at the end of the day, they did not know where the Aseres HaShvatim were. This was just a cute thing, the kids asking him Shmuel Salant, and the Sfaradi Chacham at that time in Yerushalayim. Now, in 1899, this is around the same period of time that she's referring to, there was a Rosh Hashiva, it seems he was Rosh Hashiva of Shaar Shemayim. His name was Reb Shimon Horowitz. Reb Shimon Horowitz decided that he is going to try to track them down. He got askamas of many Gedolim in Yerushalayim at that time, all the who's who, and he printed even a sefer, maybe it came out even in two versions. He got askamas, and he was going to locate with someone else the Aseres HaShvatim. I'm fine. Now, from the Sefer, it's available on Hebrew Books, Kalmavasser. It's called Kalmavasser. Seems that the Gedolim took him seriously. There's even a Hakama from Rav Kook. I'm not sure if it's imprinted in any of the editions. I saw it in the collection of the articles of Rav Kook, Mamari Hariyah. They had the whole letter. In there, he gives him chizuk, yeah, go, help us locate them. And he has a whole discussion about his opinion on the topic of Sar Ezra Shvatim. Kook and his comments, about 2 pages. Now, interestingly enough, there's a sefer, a very interesting sefer, printed by Meister of Kook called Zechreinus Av Ubenoi. This is a autobiography written by Ramachola Koyim Braver, the son of Avram Yaakov Braver. It was printed actually by Avram Yaakov Braver. And for not the discussion of today, but in general, it's a very interesting autobiography of the father and the son. It's altogether 680 pages. Starts from Galicia, moves into the early 1900s in Yerushalayim. Very, very, all types of interesting stuff. Now, this Braver was an expert on geography. That's what he got his doctorate in, and he wrote Svarim on geography of Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael in general. And he talks about the Sar Ezra Shvatim, and it sounds like from him, that this Rav Horowitz was not such a, doesn't take him too seriously. He got haskamas from everyone. He said it sounds like when he left, he sort of was a bal demyonis. It wasn't a, all down here, so to speak. And when he left, looking for the Sar Ezra Shvatim, it seems that the family couldn't get him to come back after he was unsuccessful. Okay. Now, there's a interesting sefer from the Tzvi Hirsch Farber. The Tzvi Hirsch Farber was a rav in England for many, many years, the Litvisher Gadol, and he wrote many svarim, very unknown, basically they're only known in London because that's where they're printed. They're not sold anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. In America, also they're very hard to find. Once in a while, Beagle Eisen has them, and Tuvia's also has them once in a while. But he wrote many volumes. They're all related to Torah, the Seder of the Parshiyos. Excellent svarim. It's all styles. He brings pieces from all different people. He adds on his own type of things, all types of questions, Musar pieces, Halacha pieces, Shkafa pieces, regular interesting things. Beautiful stuff. Very well written. He has a Haggadah, he has an Avis, and he has a Siddur, a beautiful volume, called Sich Tzvi. In Sich Tzvi, he has a discussion about the Ner Sambatian. He's going on Zmiris of Shabbos, Mayefes, that we say, that some people have a custom to say Friday night, where it refers about Sambatian. There he has a whole discussion. He lived right near the Oxford University. I think it was Oxford University. He lived one of the big libraries in that lived right near there, and he spent a lot of time in the library. I think he used to spend most of his mornings or for many years researching stuff there. And throughout his farm, you could see that he has access to a lot of, that time especially, very rare svarim. He has a whole page of list of sources that you don't typically find in different people about just for an example, he quotes the Sefer Zecher David. Zecher David was a Sefer written by David Zchus, David Mudina. This is a Sefer which was written on, it's mostly on Bris Milah. And the Sefer on Bris Milah, it's an encyclopedia on Bris Milah, but the author didn't only stick to Bris Milah, he deals with Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Yom Tovim. It's basically an encyclopedia about Halachas and Minhagim. It has many manuscripts that we have no from different people, which we don't have other sources for these pieces that he brings. A lot of what we do, it's very well written. It's a beautiful, beautiful sefer. Now, for many, many years, it was very, very rare, and that's why it's not quoted too often. It was printed once, 200 years ago. And to the extent that the famous Mayil, Rabbi Yassel, known as Yassel the Mayil, Yerushalayim, he died a few years ago, but he wrote a few volumes of Bris Milah. He actually did use it. How did he use it? He got special permission with from Hebrew University to borrow the Sefer Zecher of David, and he was working on an encyclopedic work that he put out on Mila. He actually does quote it, but other than that, it's very infrequent to see a quote. A few years back, Ahavat Shalom printed in the 6th volume, a beautiful edition with indexes. It's a simply beautiful Sefer. I personally love it, and every person I've recommended or they bought it themselves and knew about it themselves, they just love it. It's a very interesting Sefer. Now, here we have this Rutsi Barber quoting that all of us, there's a Shvat that is discussed by Arichos at length in the Sefer Zecher David. And when he was writing this, which is in 50 years ago, it was a very rare Sefer in London. Now, anyway, he at the end of the piece where he brings down a whole bunch of sources about it, he writes that there was a guy, I was friends with this Mekubal, Zvi Horowitz, that I just mentioned, who authored the Sefer Kol Mevaser, and he wanted to go look for them. And he says that my friend, I don't know where he knew him from, but my friend, or Zvi Horowitz, wrote to me how he wants to go look for the Aser HaShvatim. Like he mapped down the Sefer. And not only that, he writes that I got the Farber writes that Shimon Horowitz told him that he got a skamas from everyone. But he writes them, so, but Ritzi Farber writes, I wrote to him that I asked my friend, he wanted to take the airplane, he wanted to go all over for him. My friend, but Ritzi Farber writes, he asked his friend, Rabbi Aaron Shlema, from Yerushalayim, which we know from his autobiography, which hopefully will be printed soon, that he was a good friend of Farber, who was a big Mekubal, and at a certain point in time, he moved to Yerushalayim. So he wrote to him, what do you think about this topic? He said that the Gra and the Ramchal both say that we're not going to have the Aser HaShvatim until the Goel Tzedek comes. And he said there's nothing we could do to get them to come. Now it's very interesting because that's what this Mekubal friend of his is telling him, that in Kabbalah sources, if you're familiar with the Gra and the Ramchal, their opinions about Mashiach, how Mashiach is going to come, Aser HaShvatim is not going to come before the Goel Tzedek. Now, the problem with that is that we mentioned last week endless amounts of sources of people that were looking for it, and just to give one example, we said that Rav Yisrael Shklover, his whole thing was he wanted to reinstitute Smicha and everything. What was he doing looking for them? And he's a Talmud of the Gra. Okay, so there's a question exactly how big of a Talmud is of the Gra. It's accepted that he's a very big Talmud of the Gra, and some people say that he might not have learned by the Gra's law. But it's still, you saw that it wasn't so simple that's the process of how it's going to be, that the Aser HaShvatim is only going to come after Mashiach. And, okay. Be that as it may, that's what that's the first point that I want to discuss about the Aser HaShvatim, and one other point. The question is asked, and until today, everyone asks, where are they? We have yet to find them. Now, last week we mentioned some people discussing it on the point of Aser HaShvatim, some people focus on the Sambatim. Now we'll just focus a little bit about the Sambatim. The famous Ramban is the starting point of discussions about the Sambatim. Ramban is in Parshas Hazinu, Perek Lamed Beis. The Ramban just writes, what is this word, Sambatim? Because, he says as follows, that it's Nar Geizen, and the Chacham call it Sambatim, can Nikra Geizen Meloshim Vayigaz. This is in Pasuk Kavvav, why is it called Sambatim? Mipnei Shvisasei B'Shabbos, because it's Sabbath on Shabbos. Ki Yom HaShabbos B'Loshon Hahu Sabbath. Hashu Baravi B'Norig B'Loshon Yit Loisef B'Tari Yud Vav Nun. He brings examples, V'Chein Harbes. That's how the name Sambatim came to exist. Famous Sefer, HaTishbi, which is a book written by Rav Elia Bachar, beautiful Sefer, and has a X amount of 300-odd entries. And on his entry of Sambatim, he says, Shem Nar, V'aymer shekol yumei hashvua chutz mishabbos hu ruts. The whole week it runs, and it throws out stones. He writes, I don't know where he got this from. I didn't see this, but it's probably in the different Sfarim of Sefer Chazal. Umania avonim gedoyus v'yef shalata throws out big stones he can't get. V'du esiv shesesh shvatim shein. That's why esesh shvatim are behind it. They can't go out because the only way they could go out is on Shabbos when it rests. Fine. Because of Ramban, ki nar goizim min vayigoyz shalavim, and he brings the whole thing. Basically, that Sabbath, which rest, and that's how Sabbath. That's the first part of the word, and yud vav nun. A lot of times they used to add on. On these type of words, they added on this three letters. Okay. That is what the Sefer HaTishri. But all we see from the Ramban, and the Tishri is bringing down the Ramban pretty much, is that that's where the word comes from. Okay. Ramatha Seros Grashen also discusses where the word comes from exactly, and mentioned at length 2 weeks ago, Avram Epstein, his scientific edition of the Elder Adani Sefer, he has a whole lengthy comment where, again, where the word Sambatit comes from, and that's the, that is what they say. Now, we mentioned, okay, but still there's no answer. Where are they? So the, Maral, which we said last week in discussion of the Sefer Shvatim, says, don't tell, people say, Sefer Shvatim, you can't find them. Obviously, they don't exist. So the Maral already, for the question of the Sefer Shvatim, which is the same thing that a lot of people point out for the Sambatit, is like this. Ein raya, mishum d'shul d'vazeh hevel yifatzapim, ki efshav efshashi yimakam echabarit shaloi noidavim. Just like, and all I'm saying is the same idea that the Maral, which I'm about to read, says for Sefer Shvatim is applicable to Sambatit. Just like, and at that period of time, they just discovered land. They thought, oh, we know everything, and they did not know everything because what happened at that time? The scientists in Columbus discovered America, and it was called Olam Chadash, the New World. They didn't know before. So this is what the Maral writes. But now, mind you, the Maral is going back a few hundred years ago. Now, from that period of time till today, that's the question. If they did not find it, is it a proof? Now, a little after the Maral, Rav Nachman ben Yisrael, in the Sefer which we discussed last week, which deals with about the Sefer Shvatim, he also says, don't tell me that he's going on the Sefer Shvatim, don't tell me that they don't exist. That they didn't find everything, because we see, we don't know everything. Not everything, not all of the world was completely discovered. As I said again, that's fine. In the times of the Ramna, even later than the Maral, in Ramnasha ben Yisrael's time period. Okay, now, then we have a Sefer from Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Rabbi Yaakov Emden, we mentioned the very few weeks ago, famous work, one of his most famous works is the Siddur Shari Shamayim. Now, there's a third volume to the Siddur, which is called Migdal Oiz. This part, this Siddur, this volume is very interesting work. It's a lot of halacha, mostly philosophy, mussar, many random topics. Part of it was reprinted a few years back, but for some reason not the whole Sefer. And part was printed, but not the whole Sefer. And the part that we have today we have, it's technically possible to locate the complete work Migdalis. Now, one of the things he talks about, one of the many, many things he talks about, is Sambatian. Where it is. On page 120 in the edition that I have of it, he writes that over time it got lost, but it definitely existed. And he brings, this is also sources, there's many more sources, but he brings all different early sources that says they saw it. So he writes, of course it's true. He writes, Yehada Makaymasa Yadum Umakorsa Mishan Makadmoyim. There were many places that they knew about earlier on in history, but after him, Stumim, Mikhasum, Nelamim, they lost. So he, we're going much later than the Maral, later than Rashi Yisrael, also says it's not a problem. There's a Sefer HaBris, a very famous Sefer, perhaps we'll discuss a little later on. He also asks, he also deals a lot of issues related to science and these type of things. He also asks, what's going on? Where's the Sambakyan? This is in the first volume of the Sefer HaBris, and he says, he also writes, He uses America as an example to say, oh, big shots, you think you know everything, and look, you didn't know everything, and he gives a whole list. He says, of course, it exists. Okay, that's again, a little later, there's a Sefer Yadav Amuna. He talks about Nar Sambatim, the Sefer is available on Hebrew Books. He says, we looked everywhere, we can't find it. They write certain, he goes with a different approach, that things are lost. There are certain things which we know existed, and they don't exist today. He lists other things that are lost, certain fishes, and other creatures that we know were written about, and they're lost. There was a famous person, and his time is famous, today is not too famous, Shlomo Schick. Shlomo Schick authored many svarim. He was a nephew of the Ram Schick, but a very controversial person. As I mentioned, he authored many svarim. One of the svarim is a running pirish, which is, he goes off on many tangents, on the Sefer Menhagim of Rabbi Isaac Tarina. And in volume 2, four volumes, and volume 2 of this I think is also available on Hebrew Books. He also talks about Atian, says, again, he asked a question that I mentioned many people ask, what's going on? He writes, Achlerinu, he also goes, Einaraya. And he brings again America. And he says, not only America, he says, there's other places. He says, this is a raya, that of course there are places in the world not discovered. As I said, this is all fine. One second. Now, I mentioned that Sambatim becomes very famous because why? It's mentioned in this Friday night we say is Miris Mayefes. It's called this. And Mana Amto Betanugim at Shabbos Musais. Now, in one of the stanzas it says Gvar Simon Tavel Chabeman Vais Degel Sambatim Miskalgo Bechol Yom Nach. That it stops. Now, who authored this, how early back, I'm not sure, but it seems to be, according to Naftali Menachem in his Miris Shabbos, an excellent edition, until today there is no other critical edition of his Miris, it's available on Hebrew Books, it's called Zmiris Shel Shabbos, and he talks about, on page Kuflamanei, who the author is, but I'm not sure exactly how early the author is, but we see that it made it into the Zmiris. This legend of Sambatim. Now, there's some early Purushim on the Zmir Shabbos, and again, one of them is a Pirush called Mata Yehuda. Possibly is on Hebrew Books, I'm not sure. Sefer the Prima Gadim writes very nice things about in a few places. And, one second, what he writes. He writes in his Sefer Netrikim, he writes, I am the Sefer Matthew Hubel's Miris, the Adam Gadol Hayah. This Adam Gadol, he quotes him elsewhere in the Sefer. Now this Sefer Matthew Yehuda is a very nice parish on Miris of Shabbos. And he also, when he talks about it, he brings down Sambatian, brings down El Gemara, this whole thing that there's such a concept that exists. Sambatian Amgal Gufot Yoyim, fine. Now, there's a very interesting parish on Zmir Shabbos called Oymei Chaim LaShabbos. Pages and pages and pages goes off on interesting tangents all about Zmir Shabbos. And he has a piece about Sambatian and this Zemer, and again, he brings down all different sources, he brings about the same thing with the Sefer. First of America, and other things, other sources that, yes, Sambatian exists. He brings down the Rebbe Kavendin that we discussed. So, it seems to be that all these people say it exists. Now, honestly, I have no idea if it does exist or not. To be sure, just to mention that... okay, now, with the question is, let's get closer to our time period. Because our time period, we know much more than they knew earlier. And does it exist or not, is the question. So the Stifler, Arches Rabbeinu, Volume 3, was asked about this. He's a question worth much more, because today, with technology and maps and airplanes, and they have vehicles that could go everywhere to all these far out places, why did we not discover this Arsamat? So Stifler said a very interesting thing. He said, "She'afshir me'ayis pa'am l'ustayvi me'allah, v'loy l'roysay maslim maslim shamayim." Shamayim does not want to see it. And you won't see it even if they go over it, even the airplanes, the vehicles, the sophisticated vehicles that could go in all these hard, complicated areas to get now. And then he writes, okay, that's what the Stifler writes. Now here he brings down that this Rav Shimon Horowitz seemed to have found the Sambatian and he just came back from his trip and that was it. Now, I quoted earlier, there's a Sefer Zecharias Ava Benoi, this autobiography, and as I said, this Braver was an expert in geography. So he writes that he's asked many times, where is the Eretz Yisrael? He writes that maybe they did exist, but they're lost. And all... This is a person that spent years, he's a from Yid, he's a Halacha Yid, and he's an expert in geography, he's an expert in all over the world geography. And he says that it doesn't exist. Although all these sources, they thought it did exist, but he claims it doesn't exist. Okay, there's another person that not anywhere the same level of this, to design as reliable, so to speak, in, especially in this topic, as this Braver, who I mentioned was one of his specialties was geography. And Ram Korman also dismisses that of hand and is a Sefer Agadu Mahusa, concept of Sarasa Shvatim. Now, the truth is that although all these people that are these two people so far that are denying the Sefer Shvatim and say they don't exist today, and they're going against all of the past 1,000 years from, or a little more, from Elder Adonai time till today. It's not like they're saying Kfirah. What I mean to say is I have no idea if the Sefer Shvatim exists or not. I'm not saying anything bad because I have no idea. But what I could tell you is that in the Gemara we see it's a machlokes. We began the discussion with the Mefarsh with Chazal, and we see Chazal it's a machlokes. So it's not like they're coming to say that there's no, it's not like they're coming to say, oh, Chazal's wrong. They're not saying Chazal's wrong. They're saying that there was, they're just accepting, and we mentioned earlier, the Rambam says that there's no such thing as Pesach Halacha on these topics. the Rambam says it over here in the discussion of Aseret HaShvatim, the point is that Aseret HaShvatim, if they say it, you say, if this Bravar says it, I'm an expert in geography, and I checked to spend 50 years looking for it, and I can't find it, and it could be it did exist, but they don't exist today. What about all the legends and all the stories? Many of these things was going on. There was a lot of legends. There was a lot of stories happening, outside influences, which is beyond the scope of this discussion. Now, just one other source to end this whole discussion with Aseret HaShvatim for now is there's a sefer, very hard sefer to find, called Yisrael. It was written by Saul Ashkeli, Aaron Ashkeli. He wrote a bunch of svarim. He unfortunately died young in 1948. He was killed by the Arabs, and he wrote a bunch of svarim, which we're going to see some of the other ones, Amir Tzashem, next week. But this sefer, he deals with different topics. He deals with the Aseret HaShvatim, and he deals with Sambatim, and he also comes to the conclusion after seeing all the evidence that it doesn't exist, they're lost. Now, he writes an interesting point. He writes an interesting thing on page 163. When he's discussing the Aseret HaShvatim and the Sambatim, there's a lot of, throughout the history, a lot of times they would say, this Gadol, or different people say, oh, they're the Jews in India, or the Jews in China we saw, or the Jews in America. You're right. Or, and even in the past 100 years, different people, when they found all these different, let's say, Cayman people, Cayman, all these things, so they would say, oh, we now found the Aseret HaShvatim. But the people in Cayman, they could be saying that the Aseret HaShvatim are the people in Yerushalayim, because those people, just giving an example of Cayman as a easy place, but there's like many people that you see that the Jewish religion was there's all different groups of people. I mean, not groups of people. I mean, they're all Jewish, but from all over different parts of the world. That you just to give a picture of it, and there's a sefer Yalkut Menhagim printed in Eretz Yisrael every few years, and it's a collection of menhagim from all the different groups of Jews. It started out with Hasidim and Ashkenaz and Tzvar. Now, it's all different types. Tunis, and let's say, let's just give an example. Tunis. The point is that all these different groups of people, a lot of them ended up now in Eretz Yisrael. And so each one of those, oh, that's Aseret HaShvatim, that's Aseret HaShvatim. He says, no, so they could have thought that Aseret HaShvatim was other people. Okay, this is a cute point, but anyway, this Ashkeli also, who was also a very big expert in all these type of topics, spent a lot of time looking into it, he also comes to the conclusion that it's not a true, it's not that it's not true, it doesn't exist, they don't exist now. Now, I did hear that there were people recent that 20 years that went looking for it, and I found it based on intense research, and after that, these are from people from, I believe it was in Lakewood, but there were even people past 2 years, 3 years, you just search on the internet, lost tribes, you get this book still being written about it, people that claim, oh, they found it, they know where it is, endless amount of material, and still different discussions about it. It's a fascinating topic. But I'm sorry for spending as much time as I did on it, but these are just some of the points that you could spend who knows how long on the topic. Okay. Now I want to move on to the next topic. This next topic is going to get us back to Aseret HaShvatim, but for a different point. In all my discussions that I mentioned, I left out on purpose, and we'll see next week why. But there's a famous person, David Haruveni. David Haruveni, we'll discuss exactly when he appeared. And he had with, and eventually there's a person, Shlomo Molchai, that becomes involved with him. Who was he? We'll discuss also. And these two people, how they were able to, basically, and this, the point is that David Haruveni also claimed he's from Shevet Dan. And, what he was trying to do, was he Mashiach HaSheker? Was Shlomo Molchai Mashiach HaSheker? Discussing that next week. But in order to, but I want to move on to the next topic, and you'll see next week why I'm doing it like this. Here's the discussion, the Simchas HaNefesh, moving on with the sefer Simchas HaNefesh, the springboard of the topics of the shiurim that I'm saying. He talks about, he's talking about that there's different people, big people, that had Kodesh, and all different things. Dreams, some people dreams, and like the Shaila, which was in the Shemayim, which maybe we'll get to, maybe we won't. They had dreams where they asked in Shemayim different questions, they got answers. He talks about the concept of a Magid. Magid, at the base, and he brings down that the Beis Yosef had a Magid, and the Megala Amukis had a Magid. Says Eliyahu HaNavi sometimes would exist these to come visit these people, and would tell them secrets. It says, Al Vizmanenu in Hadavar Shchiyah, in his time already, which is mentioned already over 20 years ago, that it wasn't as common now, before the Ramchal. We already mentioned last week, the Ramchal claimed to have had a Magid. We mentioned about the Ramchal Magid, what it said about the Saras HaShvatim. But he does say, Umasi Bashir Mu'amayit, it is found a little. Now, Ki Tanai HaRishon, that's actually a Tzadik Gadol Amayit, you have to be a great Tzadik, obviously. But he says, right, Mezgala Shumia Kripa, but in general, it's found that people that claim to have Magid, it's not really a Magid, a Kripa. It's not a good thing. Now, what is a Magid? Again, I don't claim to know. I haven't been zeicha to have one. But a Magid seems to be that there's some type, from most of the accounts of a Magid that we have, is that suddenly the person is unconscious. In unconscious, he falls into sleep. And suddenly a voice starts speaking from him, not his own voice. That voice is assumed to be a Magid, and in many of the cases that we have, which is a very nice list, start speaking in general the Torah, mostly Kabbalah ideas. Now we're going to discuss a little bit what is this Magid, what is this, what is the knowledge of this Magid. Now to begin as follows. The most famous Magid, the starting point of the Magid, not necessarily that he's the earliest of the Magidim, person to have had a Magid was Beis Yosef. Now, Beis Yosef is one of the most famous in the past 1,000 years Gedolim that we had for authoring the Sefer. Beis Yosef, his name, but most famous for writing the Shulchan Aruch. He authored incredible amounts of works, just full of stuff, the Kesef Mishnah, excellent work on the Rambam. Beis Yosef. Extensive parish on the Torah. He wrote some type of parish on Chumash. He wrote a Kolam Sefer. He wrote Shuvas. Okay. And one of the Sfarim that he wrote was called Magid Meshar. Now, he did not print the Sefer Magid Meshar in his life. But it was printed at the first time it was printed, I forgot the exact year, it was printed sometime after he died. What happened was that, let's just skip. So it seems that there was people that were very pessimistic and said that he did not write this work. There's very strange things in the Sefer. It cannot be that the Beis Yosef wrote this. And there was a discussion in the mentioned already a few times, the world of Wissenschaft. That the different historians, some from, some not from, they wrote that they do not believe in the Magid, not written by the Beis Yosef. Okay. Others said, yeah, it is written by the Beis Yosef. You say other people of the other historians, Maskil Moso, said it is written by the Beis Yosef. Now. Now, today, okay, let's go in order over here. There's a starting point of the discussion on this topic is a work written by Professor Rublaski called Joseph Cairo, Lawyer and Mystic. It's an excellent book, printed in the 60s and then reprinted in the 1980s. About the discussion, about the topic of the Magid of the Beis Yosef. It's everything you want to know about the Magid of the Beis Yosef. Now, he, interesting, has the following opening discussion. He, after all, just to mention quickly, to mention his conclusion, he believes that the Magen Yesharim is, was written by Rabbi Yosef 100%, and he proves it throughout his work. But in the beginning, he writes, what was the problem, so to speak? Or, again, not the problem, for some people it wasn't a problem. Let's say Gretz. He writes, Gretz said, yes, for sure the Magid was written by the Beis Yosef. And Gretz, he writes, Gretz had a bias in his writing of history, and a lot of times he was trying to also mix in his personal agendas, so it was great for him. He said, look, this work is not a normal work, and he was written by. And you mean to tell me you're going to rely on that guy for his halachas and everything? So it was great for him. Oh, the Beis Yosef, the famous Beis Yosef, he wrote this crazy work, so he couldn't have been all there, you know, whatever. Terrible, a terrible write-up on the Beis Yosef is what Gretz has to say. That's terrible what Gretz has to say on the topic of Beis Yosef. So for Gretz, it was great. The Magen Yesharim was written by the Beis Yosef. Okay, now, other Maskilim historians, there was all different opinions about it. There was different proofs given. Now, interestingly enough, that it went so far as a Haredi rabbi, a real Haredi rabbi named Cecil Greenwald. Now, Cecil Greenwald from Hungary originally, they moved to Columbus, Ohio, and he wrote numerous works. We're just going to, since we started a little late, I hope you don't mind, but we're going to go for about another 10, 12 minutes. And so this, Cecil Greenwald, he wrote many historical works. Very, very interesting, very easy to read. They're very hard to get hard copies, but on the internet you can find, I think, all his books are available already on Hebrew Books. And one of his books is called The Rav Yosef Cairo Zmanai, a very nice work on Rav Yosef Cairo and the whole era of that time. It goes off on a lot of interesting tangents of different topics. It's a very nice book, but there's one problem with this book. He deals with the topic of the Magen Yesharim, and he says, he remembers when he first saw it, he was horrified. It cannot be that the Beis Yosef wrote it. It's terrible. It's a bazillion. It's embarrassing. Complete embarrassment. It shouldn't be printed, and it's a mistake that people say that. And he even has complaints that one of the from journals went ahead and bring it down. The Magen Yesharim is like, how can you bring down this work? It's an embarrassment for us because the Beis Yosef was so great, and it cannot be that he authored such a work. Now, there was another work which pretty much is was another work written on the topic, also in the 1920s, I believe. It was called by someone, Gordon. It's called The Maggot of Cairo. It was written in 1949. Now, what's his name? Rablowski wrote a review about this book, a very harsh review, in the Journal of Jewish Studies, and when he refers to it in his book, Joseph Cairo, he writes, my review on the book Magen Cairo, which absolves every writer on Cairo from the necessity of taking note of the book. You don't even have to bother mentioning the bibliography. Anyway, but he wrote this book. There was another book written about it, and he also has very weird discussions and conclusions about it. Rabbi Yekasil Greenwald, he does bring up some interesting points about the Magid of Yesharim, why it cannot. One of them we're going to deal with next week, and that has to deal with the topic of Shlomo Malchai. But before we even get to Shlomo Malchai, and the Magid, about the Magid and Shlomo Malchai, there's a different point that I would like to. Now, everyone, even Yekasiel Greenwald, has no problem, because, I mean, even I'm now forgetting about Gretz for a minute. Let's go to from people. You can see a Greenwald also does not have a problem to say that there were Gedolim that had a Magid. That's not where he's coming from. And he does not have a problem to say that Beis Yosef could have had a Magid. Now, why? Everyone knows there's a famous Shla that brings down why we stay up on Shavuos night, because the Beis Yosef was learning, and all of a sudden with his friends, they were learning Mishnayos, and all of a sudden he fell unconscious, and whatever, and said, oh, it's great what you're doing, famous. Everyone quotes it, Shavuos, why we stay up on Shavuos night. Okay, now could we stay up people beforehand? Okay, that's a different discussion. You could see what Rabbi Hamburger writes in the Sharshan and the Ashkenaz about it. But, clearly, the Shla brings down the now, and there's other testimonies, and even Greenwald, who's anti the Sefer Magen Yesharim, he's not anti the concept that the Beis Yosef could have had a mind. The question is the document, the Magen Yesharim, a forgery. According to Greenwald, it is. according to Gretz, it isn't because that's only good because of his overall picture, they say. And according to Reblowski, who did intensive studies into the topic, it's 100% they say. And he also deals with all the problems that King Wilden raises. Don't worry. Now, not only Reblowski proves beyond any shadow of a doubt, I'm not going to go into the proofs, but David Tamar, who was an expert on the era of Italy and Tzfas in that period of time of the Beis Yosef, also concludes with proofs. His discussions in his article printed in a few places, just for one, is in one of the first volumes of Areshet. He proves beyond the shadow of that also that the document which we have is also the Beis Yosef, was written by the Beis Yosef. And Meir Ben Yo also has proof that it's 100% the Beis Yosef who goes to Magen Mishra. Now, there's one of the... This is not necessarily a 100% proof, but this is an interesting thing. The Shlah, we have letters of the Shlah, and Shlah went to Eretz Yisrael, and he wrote back about Eretz Yisrael, what he saw. And one of the things he said is interesting, it's quoted by some of the scholars on the topic. He talks about... But today, Vini Ayoy Mechabdim Oisi B'chidosh Gadol. They gave me the honor of Lahat the Kol Diver Amagad Shegler of Beis Yosef. All the words of the Magad, it sounds like Al Magad Mishar. V'yesh by Kama Sisri Tayyar Seydus Gedoylus. There's a lot of Kabbalah. V'yesh by Kama Musarim. V'kama Anhagas V'kama Prishas Shehizir Oisai Loi Seichel Zev V'zeh Loi Seichel. V'zir Kama Macholos Muntaris Kemoi Al Macholos Asuris. Then he writes, V'hine, V'yesh Eilu K'toyesh Elyon Hayu Bezman Echad Mari. There you go. Maram Kadvaro Mari Loria. The Amamish Malach Hashem Tzvokos Nizgal Aleihem Magidim Yishiyas Nevim Umishiyas Tachay V'gam Elio. Okay. So we see that there was a the Shlah already writes now, but this is later. I'm not bringing this as the proof that the Sefer that we have is 100%. But he felt again. I'm not saying that for Maskilin that proof, but. He felt, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that the Sefer that he was given was authentic and from the Beis Yosef. And he writes that, yes, the Beis Yosef got had this thing called Magidim, a Magid come visit. Now, the Sefer, interestingly enough, the way he writes it is that there's stuff in here that are... There's all types of anhagas, of things, for example, things you should eat, things you shouldn't eat. And there are certain things that vezira akam macholis mutaris, that they're really mutter to eat, kemoya macholis asuris, that you should not eat. That's what it sounds like he's saying. Now, in general, the question is, are the halachic statements in this sefer brought down in the halacha? Now, what is clear is that the Beis Yosef, go to work, Beis Yosef, and Shulchan Aruch, there is no mention of any things. Any statements from the Mag. Furthermore, there's sometimes even steerers that this is what other people point out. The steerers. That's some of the points that Rabbi Greenwald brings to show that it can't be that the Magen Misharim was written by the Jesus. But we have, it's hard to search this on Bar Ilan because of the every time the Magen Avraham brings down the Magid, it's different initials and everything, but the Magen Avraham, for example, brings down the Magid, Misharim, a bunch of times. We're going to see an example soon or next week. But not only him, the Makar Chaim, for example, they bring it down. It was an excellent series of articles written by Rabbi Yehuda Klieris about the Magid of Beis Yosef in general, and in Yoni Halacha, in the Sefer Magen Misharim, in two parts, printed in the Journal of Tzfunot, Vav, Tess and Tess. They're all available on Hebrew Books. And these articles, he goes through an excellent, extensive list of places that bring down many ideas from the Magen. It could be that, now in truth is, the reason I mentioned that the Beis Yosef doesn't bring down the Magen in his Sefer Zalachic work. Now that's the one of two reasons. One reason possibly could be is, which is again, maybe we'll get to, maybe we won't, about this discussion called Torah Lav Mishamayimi, which is that things that the Torah is for down here. Now, if a Magid comes, let's say Elio comes and tells me something, I am not, doesn't, and I come to Bezin and say, Elio told me that this is the din. Doesn't make a difference. Bezin is not Mechayev Tosafim. Both said it, doesn't make a difference. Magid doesn't make a difference. So the Beis Yosef, although he had this Maggid and he valued the words of the Maggid, he listened to the words of the Maggid, but it doesn't mean that he would now incorporate into halacha for all Klal Yisrael to have to go according to. Another possibility is it's a completely it's a big discussion. What the Beis Yosef and Kabbalah in general, how much, although the Beis Yosef was a very big Mekubal, how much Kabbalah did he bring into his work? It's also another discussion. But whatever it is, but I'm telling you now, the Magen Avraham, who's one of the biggest Paiskim, brings it down many times. The Mekar Chaim, which is written by the Chavis Yar, also a tremendous Paisik. And many others, this clears brings down his article. So what's going on here? Is it brought down? Is it Lahalacha or not? Okay. That's a question which I don't know if I'll be able to get to dealing with in the course of these lectures right now. Okay. Let me just end off that, and we'll continue with this next week, that the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah brings down, and this is on this page over here, Magen Avraham brings down that in Parshas Nitzavim, the Magen Meisharim says, second thing on these, on the clipboard thing over here, the Magen Meisharim, Kasav Parshas Nitzavim, Shalai Lacha Basar Lishtes Yayim Rosh Hashanah. You should not eat meat and drink wine on Rosh Hashanah. I bring down the exact text before, Makal Makam Yibay, Delay Nicholai Bitzra, Delay Lemishte Chamra, Vaif Bishar Oichlin, Amashkilim Ezebet. Shouldn't you should not eat meat and drink wine. The question is asked by various achrayim. It is a Gemara Chulin. The Gemara Chulin says, "Arba fakim b'shana hamoicha behem lechaver tzarich leidiyai ve'elu hein erevim toiv achron shel chag ve'erevim rishon shel pesach ve'erev atzeres ve'erev hashoshana ve'arba fakim elu mashkitin asadabach bal kacha." Mefarshim explained, because in these periods of time you have to eat meat. One of those periods of time was Rosh Hashanah. And it's clear in many, many sources from Rishonim that one has to eat meat on Rosh Hashanah. So what is the explanation? How could the Magen Mishar, Magen of the Beis Yosef, and it's brought down the halacha over here by the Magen Avraham, and not only by the Magen Avraham, there's others, but stick with Magen Avraham, the Magid tell him not to eat meat. Now, I'll end with this point. The question could be asked much bigger. There's a much bigger question. What am I talking about? A Gemara? There's a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Achlu Mashmanim. You're supposed to eat Mashmanim, which seems to mean oily, fatty, interpreted to mean meat. But how could the Maggid be told? Now that the Maggid answers. The Maggid says, Ah, the Gavdomer Ezra. Achlu Mashmanim, Ahu L'Klalama. That's for the masses. Ano Mimal L'Yechidi Skula. I am talking to the school of the student mashmanim hainu shemen v'chama v'chilav. Halay basar, it does not mean basar. V'chem v'shtir, delay v'shesu yenis. Ela mashem v'chayim, v'dinim v'tukim, that's sweet. So, the Magid is answering the question from the Pasuk. And the question is, does that also answer the point of the Gemara Chulin, that the Magid is talking about for the masses, that the masses, one does not have to, that the masses are supposed to eat meat, but they should not eat meat. Well, the problem is that the Magen Avraham does not bring down that whole piece. So the Magen Avraham seems to be holding that the masses also should, because he words work for the masses, they should be eating their, we'll be finishing in 1 minute, sorry for keeping you so long. And the question is, so the point is that the Magen Avraham seems to be saying it's for the masses, because he doesn't make this differentiation. And the problem is that, forget about the Pasuk, what about the Sugya Chulin? The Sugya Chulin seems to imply for everyone. No, there's no exception. Where does he get this concept to be differentiate from the masses? And as I mentioned, the Rishonim all speak out that, one is supposed to eat meat. They also do not make any mention of this thing. So, is it possible that he forgot the sugya and chulin? So, Mir Tashem, next week we'll continue with this, and we'll finish up our discussion about the Maggid of the Beis Yosef, and we'll get back to the topic of Shlomo Mochai to finish our discussion of the Maggid of the Beis Yosef. I'm sorry for starting late. It was some type of technical difficulty getting up the pages and everything. But once again, thank you for joining. Any questions, feel free to email me at eliezerbrot@gmail.com. Thank you so much.